Hallelujah. Let's open the word in Psalm 105 in from verse 16. I'm going to read. I have a message for you tonight. I think we're going to say that is the name of the message will be From Dreams to Reality. And so I think it will help each one of us. Amen. Psalm 105 from verse 16 we're going to read. And we'll read, He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of people set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased and teach his elders wisdom. Amen. We're going to share a little bit on Joseph tonight. And I believe that this is something that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, because there is something in the prophetic that God wants to make things clear, and he wants to make things practical. I believe that the prophetic needs to become practical. And Joseph came from a family of dreamers and from a family of visionaries. And his grandfather was Abraham, great-grandfather. And then he had Isaac, and then he had Jacob as his father. And we know that Jacob had a dream, the dream of the ladder that led to heaven, an open heaven visitation. So when he had a dream about his future and his destiny, when he shared the dream with his father, the father knew what it was all about. When he shared his dream with his brothers knew what the dream meant. They knew a little bit about the dream. They didn't understand completely what the dream meant. But I want to say that you and I are part of a prophetic family. It's not just Joseph that was born into a prophetic family, but we, says the Bible, are children of Abraham, sons and daughters of Abraham, all those who believe, who have put their faith in Jesus. So you are born in a prophetic family. You are born in a family that is supposed to have dreams and visions and visitations and understand the supernatural and live a supernatural life. You are never called to live an ordinary natural life. You are always called to live a supernatural and powerful life. Our walk with God is never a boring walk. It's a walk full of miracles, and it's a walk full of his power and full of his grace. And Joseph, he understood some of what the dream meant. And he says for us in 1 Peter in verse 2, in chapter 2 in verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You have the mercy of God. You have the love of God. You have God as your Father. No matter of your background, no matter of the things that are happening in your life, things that were going on in your family or maybe are going on in your family even today, God is your Father. And you are his son and you are his daughter. And he has the best interest, the best in his mind for you. Joseph, he had the love of his natural father. And we all know that his natural father made for him a coat of multi-colors, a lot of colors, beautiful coat. In fact, that coat was supposed to be worn just by royal people. And because he made that coat, he was saying, you are not just an ordinary kid. You have a destiny. His father spoke of something that Joseph was going to dream about later on. Before the dream, there was the coat. Because there is something in the love of the Father that has to be the foundation of everything in our lives. the love of our Heavenly Father. Let the love of God motivate you. Let the love of God minister to you. Let the love of God fill you. And may you be a person that understands how much your Heavenly Father loves you. I believe that when we understand God's love towards us, we'll not be insecure. We'll not have envy and jealousy. We'll know who we are. And we will know that He has good plans for us. And it's important for us to know that God wants to fill every single part of our hearts with His love. That needs to be the motivation of every type of ministry. If it's prophetic, if it's deliverance, if it's healing, no matter what type of gifting you have, no matter what type of ministry you are involved in the church life, may the love of God be poured in your heart and through your heart towards His people. Joseph had that coat that was a coat made by his natural father. The Bible says that Jesus, He gave us a coat of righteousness that was paid by His blood. You have a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Heaviness is not your portion. A spirit of heaviness is not your portion. But what is your portion? The garment of praise. Amen. His love, His perfect love, His righteousness, that's how God wants to clothe you. Before He had a calling, He had the love of the Father. And when we first become Christians, what happens? We understand that God loves us. May we never forget that. As we walk with Him, and as we hear His voice, and as we walk towards the calling that God has for us, it's so important for us to keep on reminding ourselves about how much God loves us, and how much He cares about us. Because things happen in life, and things happen as you walk with God. And don't let that love go away, but let the love increase. Because Paul told the church of Thessalonica, may you grow in the love of God. May you keep on growing. You have so many of the gifts of the Spirit. May you grow also in the love of God. It says in Romans, in chapter 5, in verse 5, about how God poured down His love in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that we have received. You have received the Spirit of God, and also you have received the love of God. The Holy Spirit, whenever He comes, He will not come to make you feel judged or condemned by God. He will come and you will sense God's love, and you will feel how much He loves you. When the prophetic comes, when you hear God's voice, what happens with you? There's something that starts melting in your heart. Even the disciples, as they were going on the road and Jesus was speaking to them, they said, weren't our hearts burning with fire when He was talking to us? Because your heart will burn with fire when the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And it's not just in a church meeting. God wants to speak to you at home. He wants to speak to you when you're in school, when you're at work, when you're driving. Just be careful. But He wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. Joseph hears the divine calling. He heard this calling in a dream. And you might hear God's calling over your life in a prophecy. And if you think about David, he heard his calling through the prophet Samuel. When prophet Samuel came and he anointed David to be the next king, he heard about his calling while he was in his father's house. But he was not supposed to be there at that point. When David heard his calling, he was not dressed up in church clothes. He was not smelling really nice that day because he came from the field, from the sheep that he was taking care of. And there he was praising God and worshiping God. And isn't there something that as we praise the Lord and as we worship Him, He will draw us closer to His calling? And he was praising the Lord, and he didn't say, I'm going to be the next king. He didn't make up his mind to be the next prophet of Israel. He didn't make up his mind to be the next apostle. He didn't look for that. He was looking for God. And as he was looking for God, God found him. And it's so important for us to not look at our lives and look towards a position and try to find a position, but look to find Jesus. And as we find him, he will give us the grace that when we reach into that position, into that calling, that will not break us or destroy us. But we'll be able to have the heart that God wants us to have to minister to people. It was a time in Joseph's life when he received the calling that he was very young. He was 17 years old. Anyone that's 17 here? Hallelujah. We have some 17-year-olds. He was 17 years old when he heard God's calling on his life. And God was drawing Joseph. But I want to say something tonight. When he had a dream, he didn't understand what that dream meant. His brothers didn't understand what the dream meant. His father didn't understand what the dream meant. We know in part and we prophesy in part. When you receive a prophetic word, when God speaks to you about your life, you might think that it will happen in a way. It might happen in a different way. You might think that that word looks like this, and it might look totally different than how you imagined it years ago. His brothers, when Joseph had a dream and said, I had a dream and basically you guys are going to bow down before me. They took what Joseph was speaking about, they took it through their natural senses and through their insecurities and their problems and their jealousy. And they judged Joseph's dream because of the situation that they are in at the time. When the prophetic comes, it will bring up to the surface something that's already there in your life. And not just in your life, but in the life of the people around you. When God comes to speak to us, and when the dream came, it wasn't because God wanted to hurt his brothers. It was because God wanted his brothers to know that they still were lacking in love. That they still had some issues, some insecurities. They still had rejection. You know, when God shows you problems and things that you struggle with, it's not because he's pointing at you and saying, you wicked son or you evil daughter. It's not because of that. He's saying, I want you to take those things and bring them to me so that I can take care of them and you will be free. His plan is not to make you feel guilty. He doesn't want to condemn you. He wants to help us to be those that are set free by the love of God. When the word of God comes and God points different things in your life, don't let the enemy try to bring offense. Don't let the enemy try to stir up things in your heart or in your emotions or make you think about that or about the people that heard the word that you had just received. What are they going to think about me? Just say, Jesus, I thank you that you are in control over my life and you're going to set me free from every single one of these problems in my life. The father, he put those words, that dream in his heart, but he still didn't understand how the dream was going to come to pass. You know, sometimes, let's think that you want to become a doctor. And you still have to go to university for that. And we want you to go to the university if you want to become a doctor. But even after you graduate, you can imagine, okay, a doctor looks like this. Maybe you have an image in your mind. And you think, maybe I'm going to, you know, be the same like this person. Still, you're going to have different co-workers. You're going to work in a hospital that maybe you don't know where you're going to work at this point in your life. So there are so many things that you are not aware of. And if God has a calling for you to be a teacher, to be a doctor, or maybe in the spirit about a ministry, you might think, okay, I know this person that is part of this ministry. And you can imagine I'm going to be like this person or like that person. But you'll be like the person that God called you to be. you have your individual footprint and thumbprint. You have your DNA in the spirit. And it's something that God made and put inside of you and just in you. And it's special and it's valuable and it's powerful. And you will be the most anointed when you'll be yourself. You will be the most powerful when you'll be yourself. Don't reject who you are. Let God heal and restore who you are. Let God set free the person who you are, but be who you are in God. His brothers were just jealous of Joseph. If they had only known. If they had only known. You know, when Joseph received the dream and he shared the dream with his brothers and he shared the dream. And when we minister in the prophetic, you'll hear prophetic words that are spoken over other people. Or sometimes you hear it in different ways, callings that people have among you, around you. But let's think that the dream happened right here. If they had known what Joseph was going to have to go through to get into the calling, they would have never been jealous of their brother. They would have said probably, what can we do to help? It's not going to be easy on you. It's not going to be as easy as we thought it was going to be. And maybe they thought, you know, Joseph is going to rule over us because of that coat, and he has got the father's favor and the father's love, and it's not fair. But if they had only known. When you hear God speak to you or speak to somebody else, there is a path that will take each one of us. And God knows the path. From the word, from the first time you hear his calling, to the point where his calling is being fulfilled in our lives. And none of us know that path, praise the Lord. But we each have enough grace from God to walk on that path. I don't have the grace to walk on your path. You don't have the grace to walk on my path. We each have grace from God to walk on our own individual path that he has for us. And you have his grace, his power. When the word comes, when the calling comes, it also comes with the grace of God and the power of God to fulfill that calling. Joseph, he had to walk on that path, and it was a process. And it was a process that was not easy, and it was a process that was difficult. And he, as he receives the calling, soon after that, he is sent out by his father. And his father tells him, now it's time for you to go. Jesus said this in the book of, in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of Luke. He tells his disciples, go. I'm sending you out. He told us, go into the whole world and preach the gospel. And the father, after he gives us the calling, he will send us. And he will say, go. But how was Joseph sent out? Because the way that Joseph was sent out, it was go and check on your brothers. He was not sent to go and check on his brothers to see if they were bad or if they were good. To see if they were okay. If nothing bad happened to them. And he's going as a good son and as a good brother to make sure that his brothers are okay. And he had to walk at least a day to get there. And they thought they were in the Hebron's Valley. And he thought that maybe they are in Shechem. But they are not in Shechem. They are in Dothan, which is a lot further away. So they had to go. He had to go on a long journey to get to his brothers. He had the heart to serve his brothers. David, at one point, was sent by his father to go to check on his brothers that were on a battlefield. And he leaves somebody behind with his flock. He takes food for his brothers. And when he gets on the battlefield, his brothers say, what are you doing here? And they accuse him falsely about his motivations and why he was there. Do you know where you're going to be sent out? Let me share some good news with you on your battlefield. Because Joseph was sent on a battlefield. David was sent on a battlefield. And a battlefield is there for you as your opportunity to conquer your giants. The battlefield is the battlefield of your mind, is the battlefield of your emotions, is the place where you have to conquer the things that maybe were generational, or maybe they are part of your life until you receive the calling, or probably there would be blockages on you in your life when you enter your calling. So you have to conquer those things before you get into your calling and your destiny. And he's there with his brothers. And of course, you know the story about how his brothers betray him. And they take his coat of many colors and they drench it in blood, in animal's blood, and send it to their father. And they say, it was an animal that killed your son. They didn't say our brother. When you get angry, it's your mom. You say that to your sister. It's your kid. You say that to your spouse. This is what they did. They send that coat back to their father, and the father starts mourning. I want to say something, share something with you that I think will help you. If you believe a lie from the enemy, it will bring depression and mourning in your life. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But the father believed a lie. And when he believed a lie, it brought mourning, it brought depression. He started speaking only negative things about his life, about his future, about where he's going to end. What are the lies that we believe at times? What are the lies that the enemy has planted in our mind or in our emotion that we need to get rid of? Because I want to say, if we're not joyful, if the joy of the Lord is not our strength, if we're not clothed in a garment of praise, if we don't act as victorious Christians, then there is something that we have believed. There is a lie. And when we believe a lie, it will take us on a path of depression, of mourning, of disappointment. And sometimes we need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show us, what was that lie that I have believed? What was the thing, that the seed that the enemy has planted in my heart or in my mind that brought me into the place where I am right now? No matter what it is that you are struggling with, if that thing has taken over your life in a way or another, there was a lie at one point that you have believed. And you need to get rid of that lie. Allow the truth of the Word of God to come and set you free and break every single bondage in your life. God doesn't want us to live in bondages. No matter if it's sickness, if it's disease, if it's sin, or if it's a sinful way of doing things, a sinful pattern, God wants to break its power. Here is Joseph's father that would tell his sons, I'm going to go down into a grave in mourning. That was not God's plan for him. It wasn't God's plan for Jacob. He was supposed to be the man that will pray over the leader of the whole world. This is God's plan for your life. It's much bigger than what you have ever thought. Because they were thinking that Joseph was going to rule over their family. God was thinking Joseph was going to rule over the world. He had to overcome things so that at the time when he will start entering in his calling, that he will have authority and that he will have anointing to deal with situations and be wise in everything that he was doing. Joseph was tested and he was tried. And we know that our faith is tested many times. Even in 1 Peter, the Bible says about how the testing of our faith that is so precious, is like gold that is purified by fire. And it says in the parable of the sower about how persecution comes because of the word. Now everybody is going to want to hear a prophetic word tonight after what I just said. Persecution comes after the word because the enemy hates the word. He hates the promises of God and the things that God is speaking over your life. But don't be afraid. Just conquer in the battlefield. Amen. Be victorious over the enemy. Don't let fear stop you. When you sense fear, just shake it off a little bit and say, no, I'm not going to allow fear in my life. Fear is a big robber. Don't let the enemy rob you of anything that God has for you. Joseph was tested. He was tested in family matters because he was betrayed by his brothers and forgotten by his father. So we can apply this, each one of us, that when we receive the calling of God, people in our family might not get it. They might not understand it. And honestly, I don't know if they're really supposed to. Many times we look for affirmation from people. And all that we need is to know deep in our hearts that God has called us and that He loves us. People don't need to say, yes, I'm with you, even though it feels good when they say it. But the Holy Spirit that has breathed into creation the whole universe, He is with you all the time. And He will always encourage you and comfort you because He's the Spirit of encouragement. Learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't rely on everybody and anybody to always encourage you and be there for you. You have God as the source of all of your encouragement. Many times in relationships, even in marriages, people look at the other person to fulfill their needs. We need to learn to look at Jesus to fulfill our needs. We need to trust in Him to fulfill our needs of love, of affection, of affirmation, of security, of comfort. Joseph was betrayed at work, at his work, at his job, when he was in Potiphar's house, and he was tested and tried, and the master that he was serving so well and so good, he put him in prison, even though he didn't do anything wrong. And you know something? Joseph served God when nobody else was watching. And the path from the time when you receive your calling to the time when you fulfill your calling is a path of servanthood. It's a place where you'll serve God and serve people even when nobody else is watching. And you do everything as unto the Lord. Everything as unto the Lord. He was betrayed by his friends because the two guys that were with him in prison and the people that he helped the most in a time of need, they forgot about him. And there in prison, what Joseph did, he interpreted the dreams that they had. Joseph could have said at this point in his life, once I had a dream, and people rejected me because I had a dream. Now you guys have a dream, and I'm not going to help you. If he had offense or bitterness in his heart, he would have missed his opportunity. If he was doing things to please people and to please maybe just leaders, he would have looked at the jailer and say, okay, he's going to be the person that will take me to the Pharaoh's house. But it wasn't going to be the jailer. It was going to be one of the servants in Pharaoh's house. You know that the people that greet you, the people that you go by and you see once in a while, they might be the door that God will use to open your calling and to take you into your destiny. It might not be your pastor. It might not be your leader. So don't try to just please them. But be nice to one another. Because you'll never know when God will open the door of opportunity to somebody that maybe is even sitting next to you tonight. There is a path that we all have to take from the place when the time when we hear God's calling until that calling is fulfilled. He had to be tested and he had to be tried. Why? Why was he tested and why was he tried? And in Psalm 105, it says here, in verse 18, they bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons. Till what he foretold came to pass. Till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of people set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased and teach his elders wisdom. He made him master over his household, ruler over all of his possessions. The ruler of people set him free. It says here in the word of God that it was that he was supposed to lead a nation. He was supposed to lead many nations. But more than that, he was supposed to be able to teach people how to do things. And he was going to help people get out of famine, get out of lack, and be delivered and set free. How was he going to do that if he was a person that was bound? God wants to set us free so that we can help other people be set free. You can be a teenager, and if God wants you to help other people, step out in faith. And step out in faith even concerning your own life. And start saying things. Have authority. Because here God is given Joseph authority. All of his struggles and all of the things that he had to deal with. As he started overcoming one after the next one, what happened? He grew in authority. And you need to grow in authority. I need to grow in authority. We need to come to a place of authority in our lives when the enemy will not be able to play with us as with a toy or a puppet. We need to know that the one that is living inside of us is victorious. And he has given us victory over the powers of darkness, over all the powers of the enemy. Joseph, as he was called by Pharaoh into the palace, he's probably going every single day out to check on everything that's happening. He had a hard job. It was a very that was requiring a lot of responsibility and a lot of hard work. But one day, he sees his brothers coming. And when he sees his brothers coming, he is doing something that might seem a little bit unusual to us, but he's testing his brothers. And his brothers come alone. They don't recognize him. And God wants to do such a change in our lives, such a transformation in our lives, that people will not recognize who you are right now compared to the person who you were once. God wants to change your life. He wants to transform you. Joseph invites his brothers to come in. And there are a few things that happen during the whole process. We see that Joseph is looking to see how are they going to deal with money now. Because once they betrayed Joseph with money. And then he tests them. And he puts money back into their bags. And when they come back, they bring the money back. They pass the test. And I think there is a test of this financial test for us. Because if we learn to be responsible and faithful in natural things, God will give us the spiritual things. And then he's asking about his little brother, about Benjamin. And finally they bring Benjamin in. And Joseph does something. They're on the table. He gives them food to eat. But to his little brother, Benjamin, he puts like 5 times more food. He must have been related to Miss Lavana. But he puts 5 times more food on the plate. to his brother Benjamin than all of the rest of the siblings there. And do you know something? Once his brothers were jealous because the father favored Joseph, but this time they didn't say anything when Joseph favored Benjamin. And then when Benjamin was found guilty, even though he was not guilty, they didn't say, "Oh, you little one." They didn't accuse Benjamin. They said, "We'll come in his place. We'll come and take his place. We'll come and sacrifice our lives so that our brother will be saved." There has been a change in Joseph's brothers. God doesn't want us to get into our calling without the people around us. You have brothers and sisters here tonight. They are the people of God. This church is a wonderful church. As you walk with God, it's not all about you. It's always also about the people around us. And sometimes things will slow down in your lives, or sometimes things will happen, and it is because somebody else needs to get into their calling too. And our destinies, they are connected. Because we are part of a prophetic family. You're not here alone. It's not just you and Jesus, even though that is a powerful thing to say. But it's you, Jesus, and everybody else around you. And the church is the body of Christ. And Jesus loves his church. And as Joseph was changed and transformed, as he was walking towards his calling, what was his calling? It was for him to serve people. It was for him to help people. It was for him to take care of the needs of others. Nations came in. People from everywhere came in. And he had the skills. He had the wisdom. He had the love to take care of each one of them. God is calling you to minister. God is calling you to help others. And he's training you. He's training each one of us. He's preparing us so that the time will come when you'll be able to release your giftings. Not so that you'll be lifted up, but to be able to lift other people up into the presence of God. This is a time for us when I believe that for those of you that are already in ministry, God wants to strengthen you. He wants to encourage you. Everything has a purpose. And Joseph said this, God had a plan all alone. It wasn't people that were maneuvering behind the scenes. It was God himself that was taking care of Joseph's destiny. And at every single step, he had to overcome something. And there are steps in your life that you need to take and you need to overcome. Maybe today you will overcome depression. And then you'll have authority against depression. It's not just so that you overcome depression. It's so that you can break people out of depression. Maybe today you have to overcome fear. It is the same thing. There are people that struggle with fear concerning their future, concerning tomorrow, concerning their families or their marriages. God wants to anoint you to break the power of fear. Your battle is not just your battle. Your battle is related to other people's battles. And as you overcome every single time, you'll grow in authority. Think about this. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. And the Spirit of the Lord is strong over you and is strong in your life. How do we get into our destiny and calling? It's one step at a time. It's different than what we were thinking. And it is by faith and not by sight. It is by keeping in our hearts the promises of God and not let go of them until we see that each one of them, as it says here, until what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. And this is what God wants to do in your life. Your calling to come to fruition and your calling to be proven to be true. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.